Hi, everyone who has been listening to Claire Wood's podcast. It's Amy Kate, and I'm recording this to help provide a walkthrough of the coping plan that we've provided for you. So let's start on page one, which has triggers, feelings, physical changes, thoughts, and unhelpful coping strategies. Triggers. Where are you? Who is there? And what is happening? When you're starting to feel anxious or stressed, being able to identify the triggers that exacerbate this is very, very helpful in either preventing the situation or preempting it and putting our coping plan in place early. The earlier we put our coping plan in place, the better and the more effective it will be. So examples of triggers can include particular people. They can include particular emotions. Sometimes they can even include thoughts. Be as specific as you can. Feelings. How do these triggers make you feel? A really helpful way of being very specific about the feelings that come up is by Googling a emotions wheel or wheel of emotions and looking through that wheel. On all sides, you'll often find that even in situations where you are feeling anxious, there are positive feelings that come along with that as well. Physical changes. What starts to happen in your body? What are the clues that you can have that tell you that something is going to happen? So, for example, really early stages of anxiety can be symptoms like shortness of breath, headaches, feeling like our heart is beginning to race, sweaty palms, even left earlobe tingliness, as we talked about in the podcast. Get as specific as you can. Thoughts. What does your mind tell you? The phrasing of that sentence is really important because it is about what your mind is telling you rather than what is true or considered factual. What is your mind telling you in these moments? There may be some unhelpful thinking styles that your brain is also using. In that case, it is worthwhile identifying those, and you can do that quite easily by Googling unhelpful thinking styles. There'll be many different ones that come up. Now have a look at the autopilot that your brain goes into, and these are often our coping strategies. Some of these will be helpful and some of these will probably be unhelpful. Examples of autopilot can be going for a glass of wine, gossiping with a friend, becoming passive aggressive, all different responses that our brain tells us is a good idea in those moments. Now it's time to flip over and we'll talk about your actions from your coping plan. So this is what some people consider the more action-based side because it's telling us where we can go from here. Grounding strategies, getting out of your head and into the moment and particularly into your body. There are many different ways of doing this, some that are more helpful for early stages and others that are more helpful for later stages. For example, deep breathing can be a fabulous grounding strategy when paired with thought diffusion, which we will hop into next. Playing with a pet can be another one. Playing with your kids, of course, is one. Eating sensory foods like chili, wasabi peas, warheads can be really great for a release of endorphins, anything that makes your face squish up. Reading a book and immersing yourself in something that is really important to you. Relaxing by massaging yourself and stretching. Doing some drawing and being creative physically. Doing some exercise, cold water. Lots of different ideas. Even having a really lovely shower can be a great idea with lovely smelling soaps. Now let's jump into thought diffusion. The idea of thought diffusion is helping you unhook from your thoughts. It's not that we want you to challenge them, engage with them. Often we just need to unhook from them. every now and again, we all have intrusive thoughts. In fact, they're actually going all the time. We're just usually not aware of them. So an example of an intrusive thought could be drop kicking my dog off the side of the balcony. I have absolutely no intention of doing this, but the idea of my dog floating down just gives me a sense of that would be hilarious, aside from the fact that I live 15 stories up in the air and would never do that. So for other people, they could then overthink this and they'd hook into the thought and start thinking, oh my gosh, should I be left alone with my dog? Am I actually secretly violent? Do I actually want to do this? No, this is just what our brain does. It's being creative. Sometimes it's less helpful than others. So some examples for thought diffusion include problem solving. This is just your mind solving a problem. You're in pain, and so your mind is trying to figure out a way to stop the pain or to prevent it. And considering our mind is evolved to do this, it's doing a great job. It's not defective or anything. It's doing what it was meant to do, but it's up to you to decide whether that solution is effective. If I thought, oh, I want to see my dog floating, throwing her out the window is an unhelpful way of resolving that. I can play with her and engage with her in another way that is not completely ridiculous. Another example is to say it in a silly voice. If you're having a thought, you can essentially say it in a silly voice, like Dory's whale voice, sing it to the tune of Happy Birthday, or even imagine it visibly on a computer screen or another physical product. So even some people have given the example of their water bottle labels and things like that, and just really imagining what that thought would look like. Consider what it's like to be pushed around by that thought. Do you want to have it running your life and telling you what to do all the time? Does it actually help you create a rich and meaningful life? And when you buy into this thought and give it all of your attention, how does your behavior change? What do you start or stop doing when that shows up? So they are just a few examples of thought diffusion. If you are familiar with Russ Harris's acceptance and commitment therapy, he does a lot of diffusion techniques, and so they are available online through his book called The Happiness Trap. He has a lot of free resources online, would highly recommend. And the idea of thought diffusion is that you practice it. So you practice it with the thoughts that your mind tells you on the first page of your coping plan. Similarly, with your grounding strategies that we had planned, basing some of those on the physical changes that you noticed on the first page of your coping plan can also really make it more effective, because we're dealing with the things that you are seeing come up in your own body. Next, we have emotion expansion. Emotion expansion is so incredible, and again, it's unhooking from intense emotion. It's not that we're disengaging from it, it's that we're not buying into it completely, 100% all of the time. We are buying into it, and then we're separating ourselves and unhooking in a gentle way, letting it float off. One example is just noticing what the feeling is. Notice where it's the most intense in your body. There might be cold spots and hot spots. Notice the different sensations within that feeling. You're kind of zooming in as though you're a curious scientist who has never, ever encountered anything like this emotion before, and you're really studying it, where it starts and stops. Is the feeling moving or is it still? Other people really resonate with imagining the feeling as an object and watching it float around near them. It might feel like it's within them or above them or in front of them. Others prefer breathing into it, imagining their breath flowing around where they feel that feeling the most intensely in their body, softening up, holding it loosely, and just allowing that feeling to be there. We don't have to want it or like it. We're just allowing it to be there. And we're expanding up as if in a magical way, this space opens up inside of you to create space for that feeling. That's really what we want our body to do. Other people like to put a healing hand on the part of their body where they feel it the most intensely and send some warmth into that area. And others really resonate with this feeling just telling us that you're a normal human being who has a heart and who cares. And this is the feeling that humans can get when there's a gap between what we want and what we've got. That's all this is. The next part is active problem solving. And that's really resonating with your values. You need to know what your values are to make this system work effectively. I can help someone unhook from their thoughts, expand with their emotions, and ground themselves. But if their mind doesn't have a where to next, things start to get a bit more cyclical again. We need to know what your personal values are and have them right on this coping plan, your top 5 or 6 personal values. And if you don't have some inkling as to what they are, feel free to contact us and we will send you one of our values finders, because that's very important. And then, of course, who you'll speak to. The reason I have some of the crisis lines on there as well in the who I will speak to section is because often we don't know what those numbers are. We don't realize that even eHeadspace has a chat section where people can chat. And so people below the age of 25 can chat online instead of calling if that makes them more comfortable. And I'm always advocating for more awareness around these services. And of course, some extra things that you can do, some little tips on how to help yourself feel better day to day. I hope this has been a helpful walkthrough. We've whipped it up, and my hope is that it helps you be more mindful and get to know your anxiety symptoms more. If you do want to check in with us at the Mindful Collective or have an online or in-person appointment with me, of course, we would love that. We would love to get to know you more. Feel free to give us a call. Our phone number is 0451 060 764. And our email address and socials, of course, are available online at the Mindful Collective. Have an absolutely wonderful day, and remember to be kind to yourself.